Wolf, and Luke.
Who are you?
Okay, then.
Ron Wolfley.
Ron Wolfley. What is up? Witchbuster extraordinaire. Love that guy.
Luke Lipinski.
He sounds pretty good. He sounds pretty articulate.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, there is Thursday night football tonight, and I don't think it's so deep into the season where those games... Look at Jesse back there wearing that
Jesse's
that
girl.
Chase Young
are you
jersey.
Kidding me right now? Please wow. Sit down with the Washington football team jersey on.
Couldn't find your Taylor Heinicke jersey? Apparently that's in the laundry, I would assume.
You know what? At least you're wearing somebody that is a good football player, right? I mean, Chase Young, of course, one of the best of the young players that are out there in the National Football League. Oh, my goodness, is that a baller?
Yeah, he actually makes that team somewhat fun to watch. And I don't think we're so deep into the season where the Thursday night games are bad yet. But look, Wolf, before we get into all the football, how was your experience at Picture Day? That was a little different for me.
Yeah, that is always so weird right there, is it not? Where, you know, you get in front of a camera, basing on ends, you know exactly what I'm talking about, Luke. You get in front of that camera, and you just, for whatever reason, you have to act different than who you are. You know, I don't walk around with this permanent smile on my face. I'm not saying I'm a grumpy guy. Would you say I'm
no,
a grumpy guy?
I'm not a grumpy guy,
but... You know, walking around with a big grin on my face, that's not something that I do, especially when somebody's talking to me. You're a lion. You know, I just honestly don't. It's very uncomfortable for me. But you know what was the worst part of that? You know, the
yes,
worst part about
absolutely.
That whole thing was the makeup, of course. And I'm just telling you, brothers, right now, Luke, you had to go through the process as well. We all had to go through the process. So, you know, foundation, whatever is foundation. I have no idea, but I know this. I put a lot on my face.
All I know is I was after you. And so as I'm going up there and they're like, they're putting stuff on like my eyelashes. They're like, oh, no, that's just water. Like my eyelashes don't need water.
Right.
I'm not a plant.
Right. That was good, though. But, you know, you did need a little.
Okay. Well, but not eyelash water. Maybe some other stuff.
I'm just telling you, Luke. You know, as a friend, I'm just saying.
Well,
you need a little right
You
there,
haven't but... lived until you're getting makeup and Wolf is telling you about the Cardinals practice patterns as you're getting the
well,
makeup.
Well, and what is so weird about it as well, I had to go over to the Cardinals facility after that photo shoot. So it was kind of like, listen, Z, can you go ahead? That was her nickname, Z, of course. Can you make sure you get all of it off when I go over there? You don't want to go over there looking like, I don't know.
Like a mime?
You're ready for it. Yeah, well, exactly right. Look, everybody, there's a wall.
No, you're underselling it. As I was walking up, you're like, get this makeup off me. Like, you just made a beeline to the room, which I think was just to put makeup on, not to take it off. So, but,
right.
But you yes. Laid down the law on that one. Anyway,
it's always an interesting exercise.
I'm interested to see these photos. I look like an art thief in them, so that's a good start.
Yeah, I like the look on your face. It was, I don't know what to say. Was it inquisitive? Yet at the same time, there was a little ominous tone, I would say, to it.
I don't think they've put a word out there for that yet. All right, we've got Cardinals and Vikings coming up on Sunday. The home opener for this season, in a way, Wolf, it almost feels like the home opener for the last two seasons. We talked about Patrick Peterson making his return yesterday, and honestly, this Cardinals team is not a team I'd want to be facing right now when you factor in how they played, the stuff they did that looks like it might carry over, the leadership that you've been talking about, but also just the simple fact that we have not got to see a full State Farm Stadium in 2 years.
Yeah. Especially when you consider the fact the Minnesota Vikings, at least on tape, Luke, from what I can see, are very, very similar to the Tennessee Titans. This was something we were talking about weeks ago, everybody leading up to this game in the first 2 weeks of the season, just how similar the teams were. But man, when I broke it down, when I actually saw the tape, wow, they are more similar than I even expected them to be. And I knew they were very, very similar teams. But man, when you think of it, one of the things I think is really encouraging to me, the first thing I think of when I think of how similar the teams are, is the fact that the Tennessee Titans tried to come after Kyler Murray. Mm. Now, they didn't do it in a ton of creative ways, but they tried to come after him. Two Christian Kirk touchdowns, as a matter of fact. They blitzed him man-free, played man across the board with a free safety in the middle of the field, and brought six. Came after Kyler. And that's the one where he threw it off his back foot into the corner of the end zone. Christian Kirk touchdown.
Great
right
touchdown.
There, right? Oh, great touchdown.
Touchdown of the week for the Cardinals.
Beat the blitz.
Yeah.
Picked up the blitz. Great touchdown. And then it was cover zero as well, a zero look where they bring everybody, Huns over the wall, and play man behind it. And that was a touchdown, the second one to Christian Kirk. You got to beat blitzes. You got to beat cover zero. You got to beat the six-man blitz, playing man behind it with a free safety. You got to beat that stuff. You got to show that you're able to do that. And that's exactly what the Cardinals did. And this is what Mike Zimmer is going to do more than anything else to Kyler Murray. He's going to try to confuse him. He's going to try to confuse the protection schemes. He's going to try to do all of that. And that's why that was a very big similarity between Tennessee and what they did, and now Mike Zimmer coming in here. It will prepare them for what they're about to see.
This is Cliff Kingsbury after practice yesterday when he was asked what he's seen from the Vikings defense so far.
Yeah, Coach Zimmer, I mean, he's been one of the bright defensive minds in this league for a long time. A lot of the blitz packages you see that everybody uses in the league, he invented, and so he always has those guys well coached, and then they disguise well, have one of the best safeties in the league that's all over the place, and so it'll be a challenge. I thought they played well against Cincinnati defensively, had some tough breaks, but we know we'll have our hands full.
You know what he was talking about right there, Luke? The blitz bell. He was talking about the blitz bell, and everybody sees it. Everybody does it in the National Football League. On third and obvious pass situations, you'll see a four-man rush with two inside linebackers standing up in the A-gap. The A-gap is the gap between the center and the guard in the NFL. He mugs, that's what it's called, mugging the A-gap. He mugs both A-gaps, and man, Zimmer was the guy who thought of this. He was the guy who created it. And yet everybody in the National Football League does that now on third and obvious pass situations. It's not an all-the-time thing, but so much of the time you're going to see this blitz bell scheme and this technique. And Mike Zimmer was the guy who created it.
We were talking about this before the show. Zimmer, even if the Vikings personnel on defense isn't amazing, Mike Zimmer's been such a good defensive mind in this league for so long now, and it prompted me to look up and see, you know, I didn't think, we were pretty sure Kyler had never faced him, but just to double check, because they did play Minnesota a couple years ago, but that was Josh Rosen. I mean, Kyler has never seen a Mike Zimmer defense in the NFL yet, so it is possible maybe he throws something at him that, I don't know, would it be completely new or just maybe off balance?
Yeah, you know, I don't know exactly. I'm sure there's going to be some new looks. Every coach comes up with some new looks on a week-to-week basis just to try to be diverse. And that is the one thing that Mike Zimmer is. He is diverse. There's no doubt about that. He's going to give them a ton of different looks. So this is going to be – this is a huge, huge day for Kyler Murray, because once again, Thursday is another heavy day. And a lot of times, at least back when I played, I can tell you right now, a lot of times on a Thursday, they do a blitz period, a big blitz period where you would start working on third and obvious pass situations against blitz looks from the opponent and what they've shown so far. But with Mike Zimmer, you don't know what to expect. That's why it's going to be a battle of the brain between those two.
What was your favorite touchdown on Sunday? I mean, this is, we may as well enjoy the fact that they had that many touchdowns we can pick. Yeah, because I bet a lot of people have different answers.
Yeah, for me, it's got to be the Christian Kirk 26-yard touchdown, lob it into the corner. That showed pre-snap read from Kyler Murray, as far as I'm concerned. That showed he knew that here comes the blitz. I have to get this thing off, and I know exactly where to go with the ball.
I think a lot of people would say that Hopkins touchdown in the first quarter, the first touchdown of the season, that's a pretty good first touchdown of the season for your team.
Why do you say that, Luke? Why do you love that?
The Christian Kirk one is my favorite one.
Okay.
I mean,
okay,
just the way he threw it, the way it was caught, you're right, all the pre-snap stuff, it put the game away. But the Hopkins one, it's just such a nice play by Kyler running, throwing across his body. It's such a nice play by DeAndre Hopkins making the catch. And it's like, if you're a Cardinals fan, it is a ridiculous catch by Hopkins. But you watch it and you're like, yeah, he'll do that like nine more times this season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Honestly, the reason why I ask you that is because you could build an argument beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was the best touchdown of the day.
I think you and I are in the minority on the Christian Kirk one, I bet. Okay. I bet most people would say Hopkins.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We had a I don't know. Let's see if we can't get some type of poll tweeted out on that.
We ought to start a radio show. That's what I thought you were going to say.
We ought to do that. I mean, honestly, that because to me right there, the great play of Kyler Murray. Again, that's what he did. A great play by Kyler Murray. All the skill, all the talent of Kyler Murray on that play to get outside that pocket, use his speed, throw across his body with that unbelievable arm talent, a strike, and then the catch from DeAndre Hopkins was lights out, tapping it up in the back. You know what it sounds like and it reminds me of? The Hail Murray. And that's the reason why I go back to that game last year, the Hail Murray game against the Buffalo Bills, and say that was not an accident. That was two great players making two great plays. Luck? Yeah, the odds are against you, no doubt. But luck? No. I'm not going to call that luck.
Coming up, Kyler Murray may have not won Offensive Player of the Week, but he was named the MVP. We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is Kyler Murray, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
He's hot today, Chase. The thing's coming out clean today.
I don't know what he did this offseason, but, you know, the ball's coming out with a lot more zip on it.
I've always said I think we're just scratching the surface with what he can do as far as dynamic as a runner, tremendous thrower.
He's a human highlight reel, man. The way the ball comes out of his hand and how he spins it, man, is unbelievable.
You're seeing super next-level stuff where he's spinning certain balls and certain crosses right into these tight windows that you wouldn't think is possible.
Why are you walking? Why are you walking?
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
I'm looking at Pro Football Focus. They rank the matchups. I'm just looking at receivers against opposing secondaries, and they have Hopkins versus the Vikings secondary as the second best matchup in all of football this weekend.
Wow.
Second most lopsided matchup, I should say.
Oh, really?
Yes, like in the favor of DeAndre Hopkins. Yes.
Okay, there you go right there. Well, when you look at it and what Ja'Marr Chase did for the Cincinnati Bengals last week in his very first NFL game. Here he is, a rookie, very first NFL game, 5 receptions, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah, you know what? I could see why you'd be concerned. And watching them on tape as well, you can look at it. Their secondary was really, really bad in 2020, and it doesn't look like it's a whole lot better in 2021.
No, it does not. And it's the Cardinals' job to keep it looking that way, and Kyler Murray obviously will be where it all begins. And, you know, Wolf, we talked about it yesterday. He did not win NFC Offensive Player of the Week. He did win an award, though, for his impressive play in week one of the season, the Nickelodeon Valuable Player Award for week one.
The Nickelodeon.
Yes.
In other words, the MVP.
Yes, the Nick VP.
Not the MVP, the MVP right there. And you know what's crazy about this? Mark Dalton, of course, he tweeted that out. Mark Dalton, the PR guy for the Arizona Cardinals, he tweeted that out right there. And yep. Kyler Murray actually responded to that, did he not?
He did. He Kyler quote tweeted it with, "Glad I could get this one, Mark!" exclamation point and a smiley emoji. So
let me get this right. Kyler Murray does not receive the Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC award.
Yes.
He does not get that. Matthew Stafford did, even though Matthew Stafford threw for 3 touchdowns and Kyler Murray threw for 4 and threw for the same amount of yards, I might add.
And ran for a touchdown
as well. Okay, he didn't have 158.1 quarterback rating. He didn't have that.
It's pretty good.
Matthew Stafford had, but still. And I thought it was a more impressive win by the Arizona Cardinals than the Tennessee Titans. I mean, to me, think about that. A more impressive win over the Tennessee Titans where the Rams played the Bears. Now, listen, the Bears were an 8-8 team and a playoff team. I understand that. But the Tennessee Titans were 11-5, and a lot of people think they're going to be another playoff team this year, winning that division.
And they still could. It's just 1 week. But they sure didn't look like it in week one. And Kyler Murray was a huge reason why. And to your point, he didn't win NFC Offensive Player of the Week, but he, according to the Nickelodeon, was the best player in the whole NFL in week one.
Yes. And you know what's so interesting about this as well? It's the fact that players care about this, Luke.
Yeah. You're building your brand.
I guess. I mean, back when I was playing, they had Tecmo Bowl, I think, or maybe they didn't even have Tecmo Bowl back when I was playing. All right. I don't know. I do know that supposedly somebody's told me that I'm good in Tecmo Bowl. I don't know exactly when Tecmo Bowl came around.
Tecmo maybe, Super Bowl. Yeah, you were in Super Bowl.
Maybe it was at the end of the... I have no
you
idea.
You were in the sequel to Tecmo Bowl.
All I know is that supposedly I'm pretty good in Tecmo Bowl when I wasn't good in the NFL. That's really, really interesting right there. And when I say good, I'm talking about running the ball. Supposedly, I actually hold up running the ball, and that was not my strength. Put the ball in my hand, and suddenly there was one thing and one thing only that was going to happen. We were going to have the ball at the end of the play. And the reason being is because I would never take two hands off it. Ever. I'm sitting here running in the open field. Oh, Bronco Nagurski. Google it, my young crugs. But, yeah, you know what? Honestly, today's players, they care. They care about this stuff. What is my Madden rating? And now all of a sudden, the MVP, and you've got Kyler Murray. Yeah, that's cool. NFC Offensive Player of the Week? Heck no, I don't care. I won that thing 3 times last year.
Well, and he gets the announcement courtesy of Nate Burleson.
Lincoln Loud is back with the news of our Week 1 MVP.
What's up, Lincoln? Okay, guys, I'm back with the big news everyone's been waiting for. This week's MVP.
Drum roll.
This week's MVP is Kyler. Oh! Congratulations to our winner. That's one sweet trophy. Catch you all next week.
How about that? I'll see you later, Lincoln.
See you later.
Kyler Murray, he deserves it. He bought out. He threw for 4 TDs.
And he ran a TD.
That's right. He did his thing. The first weekly MVP winner. This man, Kyler Murray, he is going into the Hall of Slime.
The Hall of Slime? I didn't even know about that.
The Hall of Slime.
Yeah. Nice green jacket.
You know what? I understand the whole Madden thing. Like, I get that. Like, you know, nowadays, it is your brand. You're talking about your brand, and Madden is so popular as well. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe all the people that play Madden. I'm talking about professional athletes who sit around and play basketball players who play Madden, like, every day. They can't even get enough of it. Maybe that's why they care about it. It's just respect. It's like, what's my Madden rating? You know, it's just something that is tangible, a hard number that they're looking at. One of the reasons why so many offensive linemen can't stand Pro Football Focus.
The Madden rating is like somebody walking into your team's locker room and being like, you're not as good as him, and then walking out. That's basically
true.
What it
that
is.
That is totally true.
Right in front of all your teammates, because even if, like, Kyler Murray being 82 on Madden is ridiculous, and I can't believe they keep making the same mistake. But it's not just, okay, Kyler Murray has to see that he's an 82 on Madden, even though he had a really good year last year. All of his teammates and all the guys around the league, and like you said, guys in the NBA who play Madden, all these people that are your contemporaries are looking and being like, yeah, they think you're worse than Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my goodness. That has got to be a tough thing right here. Honestly, I just hope that Kyler Murray continues to develop as the franchise quarterback of this team. We've been talking about it ad nauseum all off season. But based on what I've seen through 1 week so far, it's looking so good and so promising that Kyler Murray is indeed maturing as an NFL franchise quarterback. Now, the real test, and you and I were talking about this yesterday, the real test, Luke, is going to be, tell me how you react in that first loss. How are you going to be throughout the week after that loss? Now, listen, nobody says you're going to be happy. You're not going to be jovial because you went out and got your butt kicked in on a Sunday. Of course not. But for the most part, you've got to carry that torch. You've got to be that face of the franchise on and off the field all week long. It's always your fault, as Kurt Warner says. A quarterback, it's always the quarterback's fault. And Kurt did that multiple times in his career. saying, you know what, I know that offensive lineman jumped off sides right there. I got to do a better job with my count. I got to do a better job with my snap count and my cadence. I mean, that was Kurt.
Yeah.
That was a direct quote. It's who he was. And you've got to be that guy, and I'm hoping Kyler continues to develop because right now he's on track.
He is, you know, yeah, it's a win. It's a great win. It's easy to be happy and outspoken after a win like that, but he is handling it, I would say, even better than he has in the past. And I'm coupling that with just how he handled the offseason and preseason and training camp. But you're right. I mean, this team's not going 17-0. There are going to be times, and there are going to be losses. Like, all losses are not created equal. There's going to be a loss. Okay, you played really well, but, you know, it just wasn't your day. There's going to be a loss that just absolutely is frustrating. And the last thing you want to do, there's probably going to be a game where Kyler plays great and somebody else messes up and they lose. And does he really want to go up there and talk about the game after that?
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Rams, 49ers, and Browns back-to-back-to-back to start October.
Wow.
That's a tough one.
Say that again.
Rams in L.A. October 3rd.
Okay.
San Francisco at home October 10th. And then in Cleveland, of all places, October 17th. Then
check
you get Houston
that out
after
right
that.
There. October, too. Oh, what a
gonna,
great
gonna,
month to do that
rough,
in.
Yeah.
The bloodletting.
Thursday night against Green Bay at the end of the month, too. Which, who knows? With Green Bay, that could be a really tough game, or you could be facing off against Jordan Love. All right, text Red Sea right now to 620-620 and listen for your name today at 1:35 p.m. and 3:35, and you could win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener this Sunday, plus one grand prize. Winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Red Sea to 620-620. Coming up, Urban Meyer said there's no chance he'd leave Jacksonville for USC. So what's next for USC? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Cheap Shot. Slap Shot. Wolf and Luke.
All right, we're coming up on week three of the college football season, and USC doesn't really have a coach at this point. I mean, they're not going to make a hire, I would assume, until after the season. They have an interim head coach. Couple of the big names that were out there. It doesn't sound like they're real
yeah,
options.
Yeah, right, exactly. I don't know about this. I don't know how this is going to go for USC right now. And, of course, the athletic director, Mr. Bone, don't call him Bon, it was Bone. Bone,
of
course.
Who would do that?
I know that. Who would ever call him Bon?
Bohn.
Bon. Mr. Bone right there said basically, you know what, yeah, he was going to wait till the end of the year before he actually made a permanent hire here, and that's not a surprise to anybody. But gone, Clay Helton, after 2 weeks of the 2021 season. That, to me, was a surprise.
That, the timing, everything. We talked about this a little bit the other day. I mean, if you're going to do that, do it in the off season when Urban Meyer isn't already the head coach of Jacksonville or whoever you want. I mean, you're USC, you should still, for the most part, be able to pick and choose who you want. But if you do it in the middle of the season, now you're, in some ways, I mean, if I'm a USC fan, which I'm not, but if I was, I would look at that move as probably long overdue, but also waving the white flag on this season. Because who are you expecting the interim coach to come in and win out the rest of this season when he just was added to the program last year as a cornerbacks coach? So you're sort of waving the white flag on this season if you have legitimate, you know, college football playoff aspirations or winning the Pac-12, if you have those sort of aspirations. And a guy like Urban Meyer is already in, he's in an NFL job and he has Trevor Lawrence. This was Urban Meyer yesterday. And I will tell you this, Wolf, I went, before I heard this quote, I was like, yeah, I can't imagine Urban Meyer leaving Jacksonville. He's got Trevor Lawrence, just got his NFL job. Then this is what he said.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it so that I can put it to bed.
No chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Okay, so now that he said no chance, I kind of believe he might take it.
Stop it. No, Luke.
Like, it went from...
No.
It's not like I'm leaning towards him going there, but it went from 0% chance he's losing and leaving an NFL job after 1 week where he has Trevor Lawrence when he comes out and adamantly says no chance because it's Urban Meyer, I'm like, there's like a 20% chance he might leave now.
You got to be kidding me right now. Listen, the evidence is starting to add up right here that no chance means no chance. And the reason why I say that, first of all, look at Urban Meyer's age. Look at his age, 57 years old. Okay, I can relate to Urban Meyer just a little bit. Okay, I can relate to Urban Meyer, 57 years old. Here comes the big 6-0. It is creeping right now. How many recruiting trips do you think Urban Meyer wants to go back out on? How many recruiting trips does he want to engage?
He even said that. Where did I see that? On the field, he was mic'd up. I think it was in one of the preseason games. It might have been on Hard Knocks, actually.
Sure.
And if Jacksonville played Dallas in the preseason, it was on Hard Knocks, and he's like, and he was talking to McCarthy, and he's like, I love it. I don't have to do any recruiting.
Have you done any recruiting, Luke?
No.
Have you ever experienced that whatsoever?
No.
Have you ever been recruited?
No, not to the extent that Urban Meyer would show up.
Okay, you know what you do when you recruit? You show up and you're nice. You're really, really nice. You're nice to everybody. You eat the kids' mom's sticky buns and say, these are the best sticky buns I ever had in my life. I mean, you know, how do you recruit? You go out and you be really, really nice to the kid, of course, and to the parents.
Doesn't sound like much fun.
Well, you know what? Honestly, when you're 57 years old, you're going to go out and kiss the butt of a kid who's 16 or 17. Or 18, somewhere in there, because you're recruiting these. I mean, it's not one of the best things you could possibly do. And then there's the alumni as well. Would you say alumni are important to a football program at a major university?
It appears to be that way, yeah.
It is a big, big deal. And guess what? Those alumni now, they want to saddle up next to you when they want to be heard. I'm just telling you, you've got to balance the recruiting and these kids, and you're coaching kids who are 18 years old. Do you think, just think of the decisions you made back in college when you were in college.
I don't know if we need to do that.
Honestly, I'm thinking of the decisions I made when I was in college. Oh my goodness, what are you doing, Ron? What are you doing? I look back at that and cannot even believe some of the stuff that I did in college, and I don't want to be, forget about it, I'm not going to do it, Jesse.
I was hoping you might elaborate, but that's okay.
I'm not going to do it, but okay. Can you imagine if you're coaching men, you're not coaching kids, you don't have to recruit, you don't have to saddle up next to an alumni because you know he's got a $2 million check for your football, bro. No, you don't have to do any of that stuff. It's a meritocracy in the NFL for the most part. The only people you got to balance when you're Urban Meyer is the owner.
We need to set you up in Crenshaw just out in front of USC's campus, and just every coach that comes in that we think might be good, you give them that speech. Do you really want to do this?
This is the cherry on top. He's 57 years old. Guess what the National Football League represents to everybody that loves the game of football? It is the best football on the face of the planet. It is the best football that we as a species can generate. It's the best football in the universe. Everybody that is a competitor, and Urban Meyer is a competitor, everybody that loves this game and wants to compete, wants to do it at the highest level and show that they belong and show that they can succeed at the highest level. And that's Urban Meyer. That's an itch so many coaches have wanted to scratch in the past.
Whether you like Urban Meyer or not, he's clearly accomplished pretty much everything you can at the college level. The NFL represents that next challenge. He's there. And again, I cannot stress this enough. He already has his franchise quarterback, maybe the franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. At least among players drafted in the last year or two, and probably anybody that's going to be drafted this year. And, you know, maybe it would be different if he were coaching Detroit right now, and there's no guarantee you'll get your quarterback next year. Maybe he doesn't want to play this game year after year, not leaving one week into the season either way. But if you're Urban Meyer and you're coaching a team and you go 3-14 this year and you don't have your quarterback, okay, maybe. But
at least
not,
you're in Jacksonville. as well. All right, it's honestly beautiful down there.
Your love of Jacksonville.
You can say what you want. All right, it's not Miami. I know that. It's not Tampa Bay. It's not these other Florida cities that are big down there. But Luke, come on. It's Jacksonville. It's beautiful in Florida. It's right there on the Atlantic. Yeah, I'm going to walk out there. Speaking of Detroit, you want to walk out and see clouds without definition? Just a gray canopy?
That paints a really happy picture.
Let me tell you, when you're 3-10 at that point in December, yeah, you're thinking of going into a dark room and playing Soundgarden's Blow Up the Outside World.
When you're 3-10,
metaphorically speaking, of course.
3-10, you at least want clouds with definition, right? It's like, is it that much to ask?
I know what
definition?
I'm talking about. I came from Buffalo, New York. I know what that gray canopy looks like. They're clouds, yet you can't see them. It's like looking at a bright blue sky without the sun, and now it's just gray with no I can't even see the clouds. What is that?
And you're 3-10, and you don't have a quarterback. Text us your thoughts right now to the FanDuel text line at 620-620. Coming up, the Cardinals continue to dominate this season. Will Cliff Kingsbury actually get any of the credit? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is Cliff Kingsbury, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Let's go, Lucky Ram, Lucky Ram, Lucky Ram to start. Here we go.
I feel like we've added a lot of key additions to the team. You know, from year one to now, yeah, we're in a good spot.
I think the accountability on this team with a lot of the leaders we brought in has really, I guess, leveled up.
Cliff Kingsbury has to go from, like, really good offensive mind to head coach in the NFL.
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
What you know about rolling down in the deep when your brain goes numb, you can...
All right, so the Cardinals start the season 1-0. Everybody feels good about the Cardinals. Nationally, we're seeing them shoot up all these power rankings. I've seen them as high as 5, although I did look at Sports Illustrated yesterday. They had the Cardinals 17th. It's like, okay, did you watch the first game? I mean, they should at least be in the top half of the league.
Yes.
They incidentally had the Rams number 1. That's the first power rankings I've seen that didn't have Kansas City
right there. Like, no, you tell me Matthew Stafford plays well and plays clean, and you keep him in that balanced offense with that defense, man, look out.
If everybody stays healthy, I might be picking them out of the NFC over Tampa even at this point. We'll see. But either way, the Cardinals are good, and you know, we're starting to see a lot of praise heaped on Kyler Murray. Got that Nickelodeon Award. There's something. A lot of high praise for Chandler Jones, obviously. There's a story on Deadspin, Wolf, and, you know, take it for what it's worth. This is not like there's no analytics here. This is not from some amazing football mind, but I do think it summarizes a perception a lot of people have of Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
And the headline is Kyler Murray carrying Cliff Kingsbury? It's a lot of alliteration there.
Yeah.
Even more than what will Wolf watch. This is Kyler Murray carrying Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, that's pretty good right there.
I don't think this is just one person that feels this way. I feel like because the story goes out and it sort of outlines, okay, yeah, they've improved each year, but how much of that was really Cliff? Okay,
right.
that's but we've talked about that. Like, Cliff does have a lot to prove this year. But then it sort of spins it forward and implies, yeah, even if they're good this year, it's not because of Cliff. And they look at that game on Sunday, and they're like, look at these great plays Kyler made. That's not coaching. That's just Kyler.
Yeah, right.
Seems a little unfair.
Well, it is unfair, frankly. It really is. Listen, players win games. I have said this for 15 years. Players win games. Coaches lose them. That's the way that I look at it right now. I think players win games. You've got to have players to go out and beat the guy that lines up across from them. That's what allows you to win games on a consistent basis. Does a coach flex his mental muscle, so to speak, from time to time? Yes, there's no doubt about that. Bill Belichick, for the most part, is one of these guys. I think this is analogous, and the reason why I would say it is because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. How many people were so fascinated with, oh, I can't wait to see Brady get away from Belichick, because now we'll find out. We'll find out who it was that won all those Super Bowls in New England. Who's responsible for it? In a gross, just simplification of the last two decades with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So
that doesn't account for development or anything.
For me, it was never a question. And Bill Belichick was my coach. And you know how I feel about Bill Belichick. I love Bill Belichick. Loved him. Loved playing for him. He was a sociopath. And I love that. Leave me alone. I'll do my job. He didn't care about you. He didn't pretend to care about you and your family. He just wanted you to do your job, man. That's beautiful. That's what I wanted from a head coach at that point in time. But it was always Tom Brady. It was always the plays that Tom Brady was actually making in all of those Super Bowls. It was never a question with me. Bill Belichick obviously helps. He set the table. He set the tone. He built the culture in which his team was going to thrive in. But, man, make no mistake about it. If Bill Belichick doesn't have players, he's not going to win.
Yeah, but you're saying that in the sense of, like, okay, if you had to divide the pie, who's most responsible for the Patriots going on that crazy run? And I don't know what percentage you're saying, but you're saying, oh, maybe it was Brady was 65 and Belichick was 35 or whatever, whatever you think the numbers are. You're giving Belichick credit. Whereas there, it's not just this story. I've heard this from people. Like, Cliff is definitely holding the Cardinals back no matter what. That might be true.
I see what you're saying.
But I do think if the Cardinals go 12-5 this season, there's still going to be a good chunk of the football-watching population that's like, yeah, Cliff's still not the guy. Cliff has nothing to do with them winning. And that's where I get a little bit nervous, because if they go out there and they're bad this season, all right, then maybe he isn't the guy. He did some stuff wrong last year for sure. But he's also at least been willing to incorporate new things and to try to improve year by year. And he doesn't have such an ego that he's not one of these coaches that comes in and is like, I know everything already. If this team gets better, it's going to be because he got better too.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about it. But Luke, in regard to this right here, there's a lot of people out there that want to see Cliff Kingsbury fail.
I think
make no mistake about it. There are a lot of people for a lot of different reasons as well that want to see Cliff Kingsbury fall on his face. One of them is because he got the job after getting fired as a college coach and then taking an offensive coordinator job and then suddenly got hired as a head coach of an NFL team. There's a lot of people just think he did not deserve to be hired as a head coach in the National Football League. And he jumped over a lot of deserving candidates. That's one reason why there's a lot of people out there can't wait for Cliff Kingsbury to fall on his face.
Which, look, I mean, there may be some truth to some of that in certain. I'm sure there are people that have been coaching and trying to get to the point, or even just to get to the assistant coaching level in the NFL, that have been doing it a lot longer than Cliff. And I, at least, whether it's right or wrong, I can understand somebody in that position looking and say, wait, this guy just failed basically at his alma mater. He gets to be the head coach of a team that's bringing in Kyler Murray. I get some of that to a certain extent, but that's the Cardinals' choice to bring the guy in that they think is going to help the most. And if they're improving, if they do it again this year and they improve three straight years, at a certain point, I'm not going to pretend the coach had nothing to do with the improvement.
Yeah, no doubt. But at the same time, when he was hired as well, have you ever seen older people resent younger people in life, Luke? Have you ever seen that?
I've seen that dynamic? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of older people that, for whatever reason, will resent younger people, and maybe it's just because they're 30 and you're 70, or they're 30 and you're 60 and don't like being 60, or you're fat and 58 like I am, and you wish you were 30 all over again. Well, that dynamic is alive and well because human beings are actually coaching in the NFL. That dynamic is alive and well. They want to see a guy who got the job when he was 39 years old. 39 years old and never coached in the NFL, never paid his dues in the NFL ever, and he got a job as a head coach. There's a lot of people out there that see that and resent him for that and want to see him fall on his face for that. And then you throw in the whole, he's got the swag thing, by the way. He's Cliff and you're not Cliff. Oh, there's a lot of people out there that are jealous, frankly, and want to see this guy fall on his face.
And a lot of them that still think he's running the air raid offense that'll never work in the NFL.
Exactly right.
That seems to be out there, too.
Yeah, Mr. Air Raid. That's who he is right now. And, of course, that hasn't been the case since the first half of 2019.
Look, I want to be clear. Cliff did some stuff at the end of games last season. Clock management, play
totally
calling
agree.
At times where I was like, I don't know how much more of this team I can watch. But at least he's done some things well in his first 2 years, and at least in week one, it seems like, yes, Kyler is taking a step. It seems like Cliff is taking a step, too. This team's not going to get good if Cliff doesn't take a step.
Totally agree with that right there. I honestly believe that. And also, too, never forget Cliff and his impact that he's had on Kyler Murray. He deserves credit for that. He is coach Kyler Murray. It was one of the reasons why they drafted Kyler Murray and one of the reasons why they hired Cliff Kingsbury, because he could have that copacetic relationship as a coach and a friend and a mentor, just the way Sean McVay was having on Jared Goff at that point in time.
This is Cliff yesterday acknowledging that he's had to adapt to life in the NFL.
You never know when you get into this. You know, I had never coached in the NFL. I had a belief in what we do and how we try to attack defenses, but I've had to learn a lot, take a lot of beatings, and I'm still learning every day.
This is why I love this guy. This is why I do. He's smart. He's super smart. Sit in the room with him. Talk to him. It's not going to take long for you to go, man, I guarantee you right now, he's smart. That guy got smart eyes. And that's number one. And number two, he's humble. I've said this over and over and over again, but you show me a better way to go through life than smart and humble. Dear Lord, thank you.
Smart and humble will get you the head coaching job of an NFL team when you didn't have a winning record at your alma mater in college.
Yes.
That's yes. There you go.
Got the opportunity, and suddenly he's coaching Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray has been developing. As long as Kyler Murray develops, I'm telling you right now, he ain't going anywhere.
And as long as the Cardinals keep improving by two or three wins each year, I know at a certain point you can't keep doing that, although if they keep extending the schedule, maybe you can. That makes it a little bit easier. Coming up, what needs to happen inside the locker room for the Cardinals to go out and take care of business this weekend and go 2-0? We will ask 15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander in the Lowdown next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona.